This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here hanging out with you till 1:15. And at that time, we will turn it over to Big Ten basketball. Purdue at Indiana Assembly Hall should be rocking, I would imagine, there as a big rivalry game between those two schools. A lot of focus on the Atlanta Falcons season, and I understand why. Has been on Kirk Cousins and the decision to keep, trade, cut, all that stuff. But whatever that ultimately comes out to be, it's probably like four or five decisions that are going to have a much bigger impact on the season than whether or not Kirk Cousins is in your quarterback room. And one of those is going to be the NFL draft, specifically, as you would think, the first round of the NFL draft for the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm trying to dial in as we head towards the combine and head towards, more mock draft season and all that stuff. What exactly I feel about the Atlanta Falcons draft pick. And I was trying to figure out what I can say confidently about the Falcons. What's a definitive statement that I could make about the 15th overall pick? The strongest statement that I can stand behind. I got some problems. I'm not so sure I have one. 404-726-0929. What's the strongest statement, the most definitive comment you can make about the Falcons draft pick at 15? And before we get to the phone calls, two things you cannot say. Okay, I'm taking them off the table. You cannot call up and say, the strongest statement I can make about the Falcons draft pick as 15 is that they're going to screw it up. And you cannot call up and say, the strongest statement I can make about the Falcons draft pick at 15 is that they won't take a Georgia player. Okay? Those two things are off the board. Because I could probably take 10 calls and 8 of you are going to say that. One of those two things. You can't say either of them. 404-726-0929. What's the strongest statement that you could make about the Falcons draft pick at 15? Can you say that they're going to take a defensive player? Maybe you can. I can't. I'm not locked in there yet. Can you definitively say it's going to be a pass rusher? I certainly can't. Are they going to stay and draft at 15? Are they going to move back? Are they going to trade it for a player? I don't know what I can say with confidence. And that's what kind of scares me a little bit. 404-726-0929. We get the call started with Scott, who is out in Atlanta. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, man. What's happening with you?
Good. To answer your question, here's my take on the situation, and I do have one question for you after I give you my take. I think what you can definitively say about the Falcons' first-round draft pick this year is it's the most crucial pick in recent memory. And let me explain what I mean by that. If we get this pick wrong, we're in danger of not only having potentially Terry Fontenot let go, but it could change the directory of our season, meaning we could end up with another losing season, and we could potentially see some major coaching shakeups. Now, will Arthur Blank pull the trigger on firing Raheem if we have another, you know, losing season or catastrophic season, or maybe if we miss out on the playoffs or even don't win a playoff game? Maybe that remains to be seen, but it could shake things up in terms of the coaching and you know, the front office is what I'm trying to say. What I personally think is the most crucial part of where what we need to do is on the defensive line. We must go defense in this draft, heavy focus on defense, because we are without a doubt one of the worst teams in the entire league at pressuring the quarterback and getting to the quarterback. We have a great offense. I think we've proven that. And, you know, the sky's the limit for Michael Penix. We could take another wide receiver at some point, but we can't rely on Michael Penix to just go out there and you know, score 40 or 50 points a game. I think the Carolina game proved that we have to get defense, you know, especially since we're one of the worst. So with that said, it is the most crucial pick that I can remember in terms of recent memory, not only from, you know, changing the trajectory of where we've gone, because our front office and our coaching staff has missed on several draft picks. The best teams in the league and the ones that stay there are the ones that hit on all their draft picks. We must go defense. And with that said, I wanted to ask you, I know that the Bengals are potentially looking at moving on from not paying potentially Trey Hendrickson, because they've got to pay Higgins and Chase. Do you think that if we could put together some, I asked this on another show yesterday, but do you think if we could put maybe a package together somehow with Kyle Pitts and something else, or change some money around, that we could potentially trade for Trey Hendrickson and get him on the defensive line and pair him up with you know, some defensive line prospects in the draft? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Scott, and I would do pretty much anything in your power. I mean, maybe not anything in your power. That's probably a bit much for Trey Hendrickson. But, like, for Myles Garrett, too, like, if there's something you think can be worked out to where you can acquire those guys, how many draft picks would you take, right? Like, we're picking 15 right now. You assume you don't fall off the face next year like you did this year, and that maybe your draft pick is, instead of 15, it's 18, it's 20, it's 25. Ideally, it'd be 32. That means you win the Super Bowl. Right now, I believe the Falcons are going to be in a run where they don't have any top 10 picks for the next 3 years, right? Like, we should not be drafting in the top 10 for the next 3 years. So if we need to trade future first-round picks to get someone that is bona fide, like a Myles Garrett, like a Trey Hendrickson, I would do that. Now, the issue is going to be the salary, and that's a much, much tougher discussion. How do you make it work? Are you going to devote that much of it to one player? I mean, in theory, I would. If you could make it work, I would. And there's a long discussion to be had about those sorts of things, especially how you get cap space, right? We could talk about Kirk Cousins all we want. Like, you're saving $10 million. Like, it's not that much. You're going to have to use half of that $10 million to get another backup quarterback. And you're talking about, obviously, maybe as a post-June 1, you can spread the hit over a couple years, you know, I guess. But it's not as much money as you really need it to be. Other decisions are going to have to be made. The other aspect here is, do the Falcons need to find a pass rusher? Yes. Whether that's in free agency, a trade, or in the draft, and it seems like most likely that would come from the draft with your current cap situation, But I can't sit here and say confidently that they're going to take a pass rusher at 15. I would like to. I would like here to sit here and say this is very clearly the team's biggest need. You have to at least try. It's been the team's biggest need, and you didn't try. And I guess we can say, well, trading for Matthew Judon was trying. All right, man. But you've been in the top 10. There are dudes out there that you didn't take. All pros, pro bowlers, league leaders in sacks, you didn't take. And considering that you also probably need a corner, considering that you probably could look at upgrading the offensive line, I can't sit here and definitively say that this team is going to draft a pass rusher at 15. And that's part of the issue, isn't it? Like, there are going to be some teams out there who sit there and circle their biggest need and then draft their biggest need. Like, you guys realize it is that simple sometimes for other organizations. Hey, where's our biggest hole? There? All right. Let's write up the big board. Whoever's there at that position, that's who we're taking at this pick. There are, or believe it or not, there are organizations that operate that way. Under Terry Fontenot, the Falcons have not been one of them. That doesn't mean this method won't work long term. It's not making me feel better short term. And you still have what was the league's, this past season, second worst pass rush in the NFL. And for most of the season, it was the worst. They had a nice run of games after the bye week when Raheem Morris got more involved. So what is the strongest statement you could make about this upcoming draft? 404-726-0929. Tomahawk wrote in on Twitter and said, the only thing I can say about this draft is that it's going to be collaborative. Yeah. Yeah, that word's probably still working its way around. Will wrote in on Twitter and says, maybe they should add Chris Henderson and Garth Lagerwey to the football ops staff if they want to get it right. I mean, based on what we saw last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, at least one team knows how to add players and get production. Because Latte Loth came in with a 2-goal and an assist. Miggy had an assist and did some Miggy things. Yeah, maybe Will's right. At least one football team that plays at Mercedes-Benz Stadium is making additions that impact the squad. We'll see. We'll see if the Falcons can do that. A couple more discussions coming your way on the Atlanta Falcons. We could continue to take phone calls, too. What's the strongest statement you can currently make about the Falcons pick at 15? I'll tell you why I'm not confident that it's going to be a defensive player, why I'm not confident it's going to be a pass rusher. Mildly confident, question mark, that they're going to stay in draft at 15. Actually, no, I'm not. I'll tell you why I'm not confident on that either. I'll also take a look at some of the players who might pop in the upcoming combine and some of the draft prep and why the Falcons will or won't be in position to take them. We got a lot more football discussion coming your way. It's Abe Gordon here, hanging out. The Abe TL Show continues in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. About the Falcons, I can't make any of these statements. And it starts with, they're going to take the best pass rusher. All right, why do I feel I can't confidently say that this team is going to take the best pass rusher? I think the top corner at 15 is at play. Or top defensive back is at play. All right? So that rules out, like, my confidence in them taking the best pass rusher. Do I think they should? Yes. Can I confidently say that's what they're going to do? No. Okay. So they're going to take the best pass rusher or the best corner, right? They're going to take the best defensive player available, right? Well, no. I don't really feel that confident saying that either, because I also think offensive line is at play. Now, what do I think they should do? I think they should take the best pass rusher. Maybe that expands to the best defensive player available, but I'm not going to ignore the fact that an offensive lineman at 15 is at play. You have some concerns at right tackle. You know the timeline for your left tackle is shortening. I think the performance of Jake Matthews has been fine, but we all know that the career at some point is going to wrap up. All right, can I at least say that they're going to stay at 15 and draft at 15? Not really. Like, you lost a draft pick trading for Matthew Judon. You lost another draft pick when Kirk Cousins kind of broke a couple rules, I guess, and then admitted it. Could trading down to reacquire a pick or two happen? Yeah. So I sit here the week of the start of the NFL Combine, and I really can't say much definitive about what the Falcons are going to do with their first-round draft pick. 404-726-0929. What's the strongest statement you can make about the Falcons draft pick at 15? We got Yo, my guy Yo, in Atlanta. What's up, Yo?
Love that Atlanta United game last night, by the way. So let me go ahead and get that out of the way. And thank you for educating me on the game of soccer, because it's been awesome.
Hey, we're just getting started, yo.
Yeah, that's what's up, brother. So here's my thing. This definitive statement I can make is that this will literally be the second draft that Terry Fontenot has actually been in control of. And I say that because Terry Fontenot was hired after Arthur Smith was hired. No other team really does that, hire the coach first and then the general manager, but the Atlanta Falcons did. And in my opinion, when Raheem Morris was interviewing, because he was the interim coach, and he interviewed for the head coaching job back then, he told Arthur Blank that they needed to have a succession plan for Matt Ryan. He ultimately didn't get the job. All the mock drafts that year had us taking Justin Fields at number 4, but we didn't. We took that generational tight end that Arthur Smith wanted. The following draft, we did the same type deal. Everybody's sitting there looking at these wide receivers that are going to be sitting there and going to be great, and we took Drake London. I'm happy that we took Drake London, but of the receivers in that draft class, he wasn't better than Garrett Wilson. Let's just be honest, okay? The third draft, we had already had the running back on the field with Tyler Allgeier, but once again, Arthur Smith is saying, hey, I like Bijan better. We take Bijan, okay? Arthur Smith loses his job, and now Terry is sitting there, not at the press conference when Arthur Smith loses his job. The uproar from the city came out. You had the home team guy from 680 question why he wasn't there. And all of a sudden, Rich McKay disappears. And then this past draft, they finally take a franchise quarterback in the first round. And then they go defense, defense, defense for the rest of it. I have faith that with Terry and Raheem, were they collaborating, that they're going to fix this defense. I do not have faith that they stay at 15, though, because they need more picks. Because it's not just the fifth round that we lost. It's not just the third round for Judon. But we have that guy who couldn't catch the football that we traded a pick for from the freaking Rams. And that was also an Arthur Smith decision. So give it a little time. I know guys are really impatient, but I believe that this draft is going to set us up for the future, and I'm so happy that Atlanta has finally turned the page from the Rich McKay era. Talk to you, Abe.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Yo. And we'll see if that's the case. Now, I do agree with a couple things that Yo said. I think a lot of the previous regime, which did include Terry Fontenot, but if we're combining Arthur Smith, I do agree with Yo. I think Arthur Smith made a lot more of those draft picks than we would like to admit. I do think Bijan Robinson was an Arthur Smith draft pick. I don't know what went into the other two offensive players, Kyle Pitts and Drake London. I definitely think Bijan was an Arthur Smith pick. I think Arthur Smith saw what he did with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and said, if I can make Bijan Robinson my Derrick Henry, I can win with Desmond Ridder or Marcus Mariota. Now, obviously, he couldn't, but I think that's what he told himself. And so I do think that that pick was not a Terry Fontenot pick, even though we do like it, right? And I like Drake London too. But I do think some of those picks were Arthur Smith selections. It just seems like it should be so easy. It really does. And contrary to how it sounds, I'm not suggesting that I could run an organization and that I could be a successful GM. I have not once said that. But there are organizations who just operate in that manner, right? Like, there are organizations and there are fan bases out there who say, hey, man, we really need this position. And what happens? The team goes out and drafts the best player or who they believe to be the best player at this position. Just sometimes I wish it weren't so hard. And it gets infinitely harder when you're drafting further down. And it gets obviously muddied as to who the best player at a certain position is, but also you start to have to deal with, boy, there's been a run on this position and the drop-off right now is extreme, but there's this other position that we still feel pretty good about, this guy or that guy. And that's my concern for this year's draft. You never want to reach for a player, right? When does reaching happen? When there's been a run. And you get nervous another guy's not going to be there. So let's say guys like, I don't know if all four of these guys are going to be gone by the time the Falcons draft at 15, but maybe they do trade down to add draft stock capital, and these guys are gone. Like, let's say Shamar Stewart of Texas A&M, James Pierce of Tennessee, Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams of Georgia are all gone, either by 15 or if the Falcons trade back from 15. So we just take Mike Green, a Marshall. And look, maybe he's a legitimate first-round pick. From what I'm hearing, despite the highlights at the Senior Bowl, he's not at 15. But what happens? You're not sure of who's there, and it's either Mike Green, a guy that maybe should be a top of the second round type of pick, or there's a guy in the secondary that we had graded at 15. We traded back. We're now at 19. He's still there. It gets infinitely more complicated when you are drafting deeper in the first round. And that's the situation the Falcons have put themselves in by not drafting what should have been obvious a couple of different drafts and still is the biggest issue with the team. Again, it feels like it should be easier, but it's just not. Got some questions on social media. We'll talk about them as they relate to the NFL draft on the other side. Also want to talk a little bit about the Braves as well. A lot more coming your way as we head towards noon. Eventually, we'll head to 1:15 and the tip-off of Indiana hosting Purdue. That's coming up at 1:15. But you got me, Abe Gordon, the Abe TL Show, until then, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. Been talking about the Falcons draft and what we can and can't say about the Falcons draft pick at, let's call it 15, but really we're talking just in general, whatever they do in the first round. And I want to go over some social media responses that we got to the same question. And we can still take some phone calls as well, 404-726-0929. And Mr. Dope hit me up as I was talking last segment about what I can and can't say confidently. And I don't think I could sit here and say confidently that they're going to take the best pass rusher, because I do think top corner is on the table, depending on who's available and how differently they view best potential and all that. And he asked a question. I think it's a fair question. I agree with the question. He said, what's the point in taking the top corner if you can't get to the quarterback? Yeah. I agree 100%. Why would you draft a cornerback when the biggest issue is the pass rush. I agree with that. But are you sure that's going to stop them from doing it? Are you sure that's a no-fly zone because of it? Because I'm not. Again, it seems so simple. And I agree with the mister right there, obviously. I do agree with him. But can I sit here and confidently say that means that they're not going to do what I suggested they might and take a corner instead of a pass rusher? No. Based on what I've seen from this group, I have no idea. It seems easy, probably isn't, especially, like I said, the deeper into that first round you get where best player or how players project gets a lot more difficult. We got Frank in McDonough, wants to join the program, talk about the Falcons first round draft pick. What is up, Frank?
Hey, man. Listen, nothing will surprise me when it comes to Terry Fontenot. This guy does the complete opposite. He has a basketball draft mentality. Yes, in basketball, you can draft the greatest player. I don't care if he plays the same position as the guy on the court now. But football, it's all about moving parts. And I guarantee you he will not draft a defensive end. Now, he may draft a corner. My guess is he's going to draft an offensive lineman. But, I mean, Terry Fontenot, whatever we think we need, he think he knows better. So it doesn't surprise me. And also I'm getting sick and tired of people talking about, you know, we need to be more patient. I'm like, you had 7 straight years of losing, and yet you're still talking about people need to be patient. They need to, you know, give people a chance. I'm like, when you pretty much went after Kirk Cousins in free agency and drafted Michael Penix, you put the pressure on yourself. So don't ask us to be patient when you pretty much doubled down on the quarterback and still finished under 500. So people have a right to hold you accountable. I mean, you ask another franchise, ask the Dodgers or somebody to put up with a losing season and see what happens. Folks aren't going to be patient. They're going to be crying for somebody's head. I mean, you saw what happened at Ohio State. I mean, it took them winning the championship to save their coach. I mean, when you have a winning culture, you don't, you know, put up with losing seasons. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, in terms of patience, and I appreciate the call, and I was just texting with Tone, who listens all the time, and I always appreciate him chiming in. He was talking about Terry's method, right? You go offense in the first round, and then it's pretty much all defensive players after that. I think you can see his method is kind of getting there. We need to give him time to renovate the defense like we've had a multitude of years, and he's renovated the offense. I think we all think this offense, to Tone's point, can be one of the better offenses in the NFL this season. Can we give him time to renovate the defense? Here's the thing. I don't think he's got time to renovate the defense. I think he has one season. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to fully renovate the defense for him to keep his job, but you got to win. You got to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. You got to win the division. And you're right. You talk about patience. Whether or not it was his draft picks or Arthur Smith's, going to be irrelevant. You're not keeping a GM 5, 6, 7 years of not getting to the playoffs. I think Terry Fontenot has got to get to the playoffs this year if he wants any shot at keeping his job. And obviously a lot of that is going to come down to what he can do in this year's draft and the development of some of the younger guys that we got in last year's draft. Rook, we saw a little bit from, not enough. Brandon Dorlus, did he play at all? Braylon Trice, unfortunately, got hurt. We're obviously putting a lot of hopes on him, but, I mean, the pre-draft reports on Braylon Trice were, a solid player, you know, can be a starter, but we're not talking about an alpha necessarily. Now, I like him. I hope he can be more than what some of the pre-draft thoughts were. But for Terry Fontenot, this might be his last draft. If you don't take the next step in competitiveness in the NFC South and in the NFC overall in the NFL, he ain't going nowhere. And he's going to lose his job. I'm not rooting for that. I don't root for people to lose their jobs. But we face the facts. I don't think that this can be another season without playoffs and the GM keeps his job. I'm not even sure that Raheem would. Now, it always is going to depend, especially with Raheem, how it looks as well. And that's a different discussion than what Terry Fontenot has. All right, continuing the phone calls, we got Zach in Gwinnett, line two. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
So, enjoying the show, dude. You're getting your voice, hitting your stride, man. So props. I'm enjoying it.
Appreciate it.
So, from the Midday Show, I'm a big Tennessee fan. And, I've seen James Pierce Jr.
Yeah. Locked.
Go to the Falcons, and I'm kind of torn on that. He's been great. You know, he's been a great ball, but we saw last year his production dropped after Byron Young transferred to Miami. But all the next-gen stats, all the secondary stuff say that he's still elite, but he still didn't get that same production. So I'm wondering if it's worth a pick, if he's not able, is it worth putting him on a subpar defensive line if we saw that in his production drop? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I was listening to Dukes and Bell this week. They had an NFL draft analyst, and I apologize to the fellas. I'm forgetting his name. He was suggesting that he doesn't know if Pierce is making it out of the top 10. He thinks Pierce is going to the combine, is going to be one of those guys that jumps up the boards. I think when I look at the draft and who might be available, and everyone's going to make a big deal about the Georgia guys and Mykael Williams and Jalen Walker, and I totally get that. I'm not trying to say don't take those guys. But I'm also saying Shamar Stewart and James Pierce are guys you have to consider, and neither of them may be there at 15. From what I've been hearing, Pierce is one of those guys they think can really rise. And so if he is there at 15, you got to – right? Film doesn't lie. So what happened, like you mentioned, 2 years ago to where everyone thought he would come back to Tennessee one final year this year and just blow out the SEC, it didn't necessarily happen that way. There's still some good relatable skills from him. So, I think he's going to absolutely be in the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, stud. You know, he still affected the quarterback. He still affected the play on the field and everything. But, I mean, God, we talk about, quarterback pressures and virtual sacks or whatever you want to call it. I want sacks, man. And if he's not getting the production, I don't know if it's worth a pick. And he's one of my guys. He's a vault, you know what I mean? So it's hard to say that, but I want sacks, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Zach. And here's the thing, and I've been mentioning it for the last couple of segments. It gets infinitely more difficult the further back in the draft you are. We are trying to find an alpha pass rusher at 15. Do you know how much easier it would have been at 4 or at 8? Again, I'm not saying that necessarily you should have taken different draft picks. Obviously, the Kyle Pitts thing is its own discussion for various reasons. But when you look at those draft spots, it would have been much easier to take a primo pass rusher in the top 10. The further you get, the more variables there are. It's always going to be that way. Lewis is out in Woodstock, wants to talk about the Falcons draft and what he's confident they might do at 15. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, I guess the only definitive statement I think you can make about the Falcons draft is it should be almost as good as the Jets.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the Jets draft picks, and I appreciate that. And obviously they've had a couple of really good first rounders. The thing with the Jets is their whole organization changed with the drafting of Sauce Gardner, right? We can sit here and say that you need a pass rush. Well, why would you do that? If you believe that there's a Sauce Gardner up there, and that goes in line, by the way, speaking of the Jets, with Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. Jeff Ulbrich goes to the Jets as DC and turns that defense around in 1 year. What happened in that 1 year? They got Sauce Gardner. And so I could sit here and say, as we have said, that this is a organization that needs to draft pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. But depending on how it plays out and depending on how Jeff Ulbrich has seen a good corner turn around a defense, again, I'm just not ruling it out. Scott hit me up on Twitter and is essentially saying it shouldn't be this difficult, guys. He said the Eagles laid the blueprint how to beat Patrick Mahomes. D-line was getting pressure with just four. Tampa Bay did the same thing when they beat the Chiefs. You have to build the D-line. Again, I agree with the premise. It makes sense. But are you confident that that's the route that's going to be taken? I'm not so sure. The real wild card is the potential to draft offensive line. And again, it comes down to, is there a run on defensive linemen, pass rushers? Do you trade back to acquire draft capital? Is the guys we just mentioned, James Pierce from Tennessee, Shamar Stewart, are they gone? Mykel Williams, is he gone? Jaylen Walker, is he gone? Are you going to take a chance that Mike Green, maybe draft him a little bit earlier than he should go? Or are you going to go corner? Or with a new quarterback, a guy that you want to be your franchise, do you feel it's time to upgrade the offensive line? I don't think that you are losing games because of your offensive line. Now, I know there was a play that cost you the season, if you want to call it that, in which Kirk Cousins got hurt, and there was some mistakes along the offensive line. I don't remember who said it. It may have been Rusty. It may have been Randy. But you can win with this offensive line. They're not the best, but they're not the worst. But it can always be improved. And you've got a new blind side, right? You go from a right-handed quarterback to a left-handed quarterback. You got a new blind side. Are you looking to upgrade there? Maybe with an eventual eye to replace Drake Matthews at some point as well. You've also, by the way, got to figure out if you're bringing back Drew Dolman. And I'm going to talk about that in the next hour. Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter, is going to join me in the next hour. And we're going to talk about a couple of different things, but Drew Dolman's definitely going to be part of it. I'm going to ask him the same question, by the way. Like, what's the most definitive, strongest statement he can confidently say about the Falcons' first-round draft? I'm interested to see what he says. I think he's going to settle on defensive player. And I think that's ultimately probably where we should settle. Like, I don't feel 100% that they're going to take the best pass rusher. I really do feel a little, quite a bit stronger that they will draft a defensive player. But I'm not entirely closing the door on the prospect of that being an offensive lineman there too. I don't think it's receiver. It's definitely not running back. It's definitely not quarterback, right? Like, it's probably a shorter list of what it's not going to be. Like, we got how many position groups? Let's just say four position groups on offense, three on defense, right? Defensive line, linebacker, defensive back. I don't think it's going to be a linebacker. Not the traditional linebacker, maybe a pass-rushing linebacker, but you get the point. It's not going to be a receiver, tight end. It's not going to be a quarterback. It's not going to be a running back. If it's going to be anything on offense, it's going to be an O-lineman. I would like to think that's going to be on defense. But even that, I really just can't, like, confidently say. All right, when we come back, we're going to go OTP, outside the perimeter, the part of the show where I talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. It's Abe Gordon hanging out with you. The Abe TL show rolls on here till 1:15 in the Kia Studios. In 5 minutes, we go OTP on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.